I just kept telling myself, don't cry.
I think it was just more devastating because of the excuses that he gave me. You know, he really cut me down and pointed the finger at me and was blaming me for why our marriage was failing. Everything that was said to me just kind of broke me and shattered my soul.
Today's episode, Jen. Hi, friends. All right, there's a big debate that's been going around for years that I'm sure you have your own opinion on. Can you truly love others if you don't love yourself? And while I can't give the official written in stone response to this, I can say that, in my experience, the love of another can at least distract a person, for a time, from the lack of acceptance and adoration they have for themselves. And the gratitude one might experience for the person who gives them that distraction, well, that can look a whole lot like love, but in my opinion, a very dangerous kind. Personally, I've gone the route of hoping someone would love me enough to distract me from how little I liked myself at the time. And trust me, I would not recommend this path to anyone. And I know for sure, the person whose story you're about to hear would say the exact same thing.
All of those moments we tried, all of those tears that I cried, I won't hold on no more. I gotta let go and walk out that door.
What's going on? My name is Shan Boodram. I'm a sex educator and a relationship expert. From Headspace Studios and Frequency Machine, this is Hung Up.
This is my time.
Now, usually we hear from the guests about how they're hung up. But for this episode, we heard from the guest Jen's 17-year-old daughter, Paige, who not only saw that her mom needed some help after a devastating breakup, but sought out Hung Up to get her mom the extra boost of support.
Jen, I'm reaching out for my mom. She's an amazing person and my best friend. And right now she's hurting after her second husband, Johnny, asked for a divorce out of nowhere. I'm really angry how he treated my mom and just the dumbest reasons that he gave for leaving her. And now she's trying to put up a strong front, but I know my mom and I know how sad she is, and I'm scared she won't come back from this kind of pain. I don't want my mom to think that Johnny leaving her is her fault or that she's failed me and my brother in any way. If anything, Johnny's failed her. She can't see that now, but maybe you can help her too.
That's exactly what I plan to do. But first, I gotta meet the lady of the hour. Hey there, Jen.
Hi, Shan.
All right, Jen. So since Paige set us up, I'm kind of feeling like I'm on a blind date here.
Yeah.
So in first date fashion, can you tell me about who you are and furthermore, what's got you hung up?
Yeah. Well, I was born and raised in Iowa and I've stayed in Iowa my whole life. I'm a nurse, which is a big part of my life, but my kids are a bigger part. I have two kids. Paige is in high school. Paige is in her first real relationship. Logan is in junior high. So my life is pretty normal, except when it isn't.
Okay.
So my first husband and my kid's dad cheated on me a few years ago with this woman from work. At the time, that woman was married to this guy, Johnny.
I just want a little bit of clarification, if you don't mind, Jen. So you were previously married to somebody who you had two kids with, and that person had an affair. You were the one who discovered the affair. And was it Johnny's wife that your ex-husband was having an affair with?
Yes.
Mm.
So I just contacted him and left him a voicemail. He just eventually called me back, and Johnny was like, how do you know that, you know, your husband and my wife are together? And so I explained the situation to him.
Just for all of you to know, Jen found out about her husband cheating on her from someone who worked with him and Johnny's wife. This unidentified person reached out to her one night on Messenger. They told her about her husband's infidelity, and when Jen wanted proof, they said, "Look at your phone bills." Sure enough, there were multiple calls for months made from her husband to Johnny's wife late into the night. These clearly were not work calls, and neither were the texts Jen received from Johnny's wife after Jen outed her.
I start getting text messages from Johnny's wife, and she wants to give me her side of the story. And so I had messaged him that morning, and I explained to him that she was blowing up my phone trying to get me to call her. And later that afternoon, Johnny texted me to kind of check on me and see how I was doing and if she kept bothering me. And then after that, we just started talking.
And so then you and Johnny became a support system to each other through this traumatic experience that you faced with your ex-husband.
Yeah. I mean, that first month that we were texting back and forth, it was like from the moment we woke up until I couldn't keep my eyes open at night anymore. I think we texted back and forth over 4,000 times in that first month. He was kind of like that knight in shining armor swooping in and saving me from the pain that I was going through. But
yeah. So I think the moment that I knew I had fallen in love with Johnny was when I had actually had met him for the first time. It was like I've known him my whole life. It just felt like we had already been together for so long. Like, he asked me a lot about myself and seemed interested in me. It made me feel like I actually mattered to somebody.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have this instant connection, which comes at a complicated time for both of you. So where does it go from there?
We had a connection there because we had so much in common. I mean, everything that he liked to do, I liked to do. I mean, down to the piddly, we loved the same color.
All right, let me step in here for a second. This is a good opportunity to discuss something Jen was experiencing with Johnny. Yes, they had a connection that felt too good to be true. And part of that could have been true love. But a bigger part of that is shared trauma. Shared pain connects people. Another word for this is trauma bond. Now, any book on the psychology of love will tell you that despite the adage opposites attract, the real truth is we're drawn to what's similar and familiar. However, this can be dangerous when all that we really have in common is shared trauma, which is something Jen would soon discover.
They say, you know, if it seems like it's too good to be true, it probably is. My biggest thing with him was he was 10 years younger than me. And I had two kids and he didn't have any kids. So I didn't know where our relationship was going to go. But I really struggled with the fact that he didn't have any kids. And he was just like, no, I don't want kids. I don't want to do the baby thing. And I told him that I would wait to see where our relationship went, to see if he changed his mind about having kids. But after several months, he's like, I really don't want kids. He had asked me two times to marry him, and then we actually got married in February 2017. I provided him with a lot of support, and I was always affectionate toward him. This went on for the next several years. And one night when he came home, he came home and told me that he wanted a divorce.
Walk me through that experience, the details, your feelings, all of it.
So it was probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning by the time he got home. And he said, oh, I met the new...
For confidentiality purposes, we cannot use real names or titles here. But Jen's talking about one of Johnny's new colleagues, a female colleague.
She wanted to know if there was a gas station in town, so I took her to the gas station, and I said, oh, that was nice of you. And then all of a sudden, he got like, his body just got rigid, and he got really pissy. So I followed him into the bedroom, and he didn't say anything else to me. He changed and then went out into the living room, so then I just went to bed. And then about an hour later, he came in, started packing a bag, and he's like, I'm going to my brother's. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I'm so tired of your jealousy. I can't take this anymore. That's when he was just like, I just want a divorce. You gained weight, you snore, I can't sleep with you without wearing earplugs. I might want to have kids now, but I don't want to have kids with you. I just kept telling myself, don't cry.
Oh.
I think it was just more devastating because of the excuses that he gave me. You know, he really cut me down and pointed the finger at me and was blaming me for why our marriage was failing.
Wow.
I mean, there was no warning whatsoever. And then it wasn't even a week later that he was already filing divorce papers.
I would imagine that Jen has emotional whiplash after all of that. Ending her first marriage due to infidelity, finding comfort in the other betrayed spouse, Johnny, and then finding meaning in all that pain through her connection with Johnny. It all seemed almost meant to be. So with all of this in mind, you can see how it was easy for Jen, who ultimately needed to believe that she was worthy of love, to get caught up in the idea of the romance, which made it very difficult to pay attention to the details that made it evident that things were not exactly as they seemed, hence the blindside breakup. What's even more heartbreaking is Jen wasn't the only one caught up in the fiction, and thus, she wasn't the only one deeply hurt when reality suddenly reared its ugly head.
My daughter had grown really attached to him. He was the father that she's always wanted. And, you know, it was heartbreaking because she's like, Mom, he didn't even tell me goodbye. You know, it just really broke my heart that the 17-year-old girl finally has a father figure in her life. And he basically just walked out and didn't even have the guts to sit down and explain to my kids, you know, I'm not happy.
I decided to stop the interview for a beat because I could hear someone in the background crying.
That's Paige.
He broke more than one heart.
I am so, so sorry to both of you for the heartbreak Johnny has put you both through.
It's okay.
You know, I feel like a failure to my kids because they really liked him.
Paige, what do you think when you hear your mom say that?
She definitely hasn't failed me or my brother. If anything, Johnny has failed her.
There's a lot of emotion going on here, so let's take a breath and digest. We'll see you after the break. On that last call with Jen, Paige made an unexpected appearance, and I'm glad she did, because I could tell that Jen took her daughter's words to heart. But I didn't want to press Jen too hard for deeper insights around a hang-up that's still so visceral for her. The first step of Jen's process was for her to share her painful and complicated story. The next is to get clarity around it. Now, I want to get to the bottom of what it was that really shattered Jen's sense of self when Johnny left, which means going deeper on our next call than she might be comfortable with. But in that discomfort, there are answers. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
I want to jump back in where we left off last time.
Our goal is to figure out what is the thing that really is holding you back from moving forward.
I think the biggest thing is because of everything that was said to me, it just kind of broke me and shattered my soul because, you know, you have somebody basically telling you that you're worthless, you're fat, you're ugly, you know, whatever it is. So just, you know, being able to love myself is the biggest thing.
Now this is the answer we've been looking for. It's time for Jen to reclaim what she lost in her past two relationships, herself. Simply put, Jen needs to rediscover self-love.
I wonder, this is such a whirlwind and so much for one person to go through. And in many ways, Johnny could have seemed like the knight in shining armor, right? And you feel like there's this great connection, and there is. And in essence, the two of you help each other heal. And then I think when that feels like it's accomplished, he turns his back on you and says, well, thanks for being my crutch. Now I'm going to move on. And then now you're left to pick up the pieces of it. And I'm just curious if in any of this, what really is missing is an opportunity for you to fall back in love with yourself. Do you think through this cycle, you really ever got a chance to do that?
I don't think that I really ever did get a chance to get back to who I was and to love myself again.
So when was the last time that you felt like you were truly yourself, you know, not defined by a man or a relationship?
It's probably been about 27 years.
Can you describe what that looked like 27 years ago?
27 years ago, I was still in high school. I was still trying to figure out who I was, but, you know, high school girls, they have that confidence. They're going to go out there. They're going to rule the world. They don't care what anybody thinks. They don't need a man in their life.
When you looked in the mirror, who did you see?
I seen somebody who knew what they wanted, who knew where she wanted to be, where she wanted to go.
And who do you see now?
I don't know what I see. Just like an empty shell standing there.
And maybe it's empty because you've given everything that you have away. That for the past 27 years, you have been pouring and pouring out of your cup. And now it feels like there's nothing left to give.
Yeah.
So when we think about what it is that we have to reclaim in order to move forward, does it feel like we have to reclaim closure or an apology from the past failed relationships?
I don't need an apology. I don't need closure. I mean, the closure I got from him was all I'm going to get, and I can accept that. I just want to be able to reclaim myself.
And I think that's what we can really beautifully work on together. And I think that's the thing that we have to go back and get. Are there people in your life that remind you of the you that you were in love with 27 years ago?
My sister.
Oh, tell me about your sister. I love my sister too, so I love hearing sister love stories.
I've always been close with her. She's been a second mom to my kids, and she's just been amazing. She's really helped me a lot through this.
And she's also known you your entire life.
Yeah.
So she's seen the changes in you for better and for worse. And so she's somebody who knows the Jen that we're talking about, the one that we're going to fall back in love with.
Yeah.
Setting up a call with Jen and her sister, Christine, seems like a pretty easy next step. But for Jen, it's a huge step in her self-love journey because this call isn't about her work, her kids, or about any dude she's dating. This call is about her. Jen, Christine, and myself connected a couple of weeks later. I was sitting in sunny California while they were in Iowa having a completely different experience. Hi, Jen and Christine. Thank you for getting on this call.
Yeah, we're sitting in a snowstorm.
Oh, yeah. That's my old life. I'm from Canada, so I completely empathize. All right, so Christine, first and foremost, thank you for showing up for your sister today.
Oh, yeah. She's my baby sister, and we were always the closest. I could go to her for anything and know that she would be there to support me, and I like to think she feels the same way about me.
Very much.
And I would assume a part of going to each other for anything means also going to each other for the truth. And as somebody who loves your sister and has watched your sister, what is the truth about the last relationship that she was in?
I saw her from the very beginning, even from her first marriage, changed her persona. But she went from a fun-loving, very open, to a hard, no-feeling, she didn't show emotion. I saw almost like that part of her life just drain out of her, and it just kind of changed her as a whole person. She needs to find herself again. She went from our parents breaking up her senior year, I believe, to directly into her first marriage, to directly into her second marriage. So there's been no her time.
So in your opinion, why do you think this has happened?
I feel like she's always rushing. I have to be with somebody. She's afraid to be alone.
Can you walk me through what you're feeling right now? What's making you emotional?
I think just kind of hearing my sister's perspective of what she's seen, because I was definitely viewing it a lot differently.
What specifically for you turned on a light bulb?
I guess kind of going from, you know, my parents got divorced when I was a senior in high school, and I was pretty much on my own at that time. And then I got married and had my kids, and then a divorce, and then got married again right away. And looking back, it's like, God, no, really, I did jump from one relationship or one marriage into another, but not realizing it until, you know, my sister kind of pointed it out.
I think one of the most important things to remember is that what makes it easier sometimes to be ourselves is when we're around people who remind us of who we really are. And she identified you as somebody who she does feel like she can be her best self around.
Yeah, she brings that out in me too. I try to call her at least every day or every other day just to check to see how she's doing. She needs to remember that she's independent. She doesn't need someone else to take care of her. She doesn't need someone to tell her that she's beautiful. She needs to see that she is. I would like Jen to fill her own cup. Don't worry about filling someone else's cup, because that's what she's always done.
Does it sound freeing to hear somebody say that it's okay to focus on you right now?
Yes, it does.
Fill your own cup.
You can tell Christine is the older sister. Jen listens to her. What I got from that call is that Christine was honest with Jen about the patterns keeping her stuck in relationships, where she lives her life for someone else and not for herself. After our call with Christine, I stayed on with Jen to help her find a tangible place to begin her self-love journey.
Okay, Jen, I think self-love can feel like this kind of foggy term. Like, what does that even mean? So to give you an example, like if you had a machine, right, that you needed to survive, and this machine, only you could operate, you probably would learn all the various parts of the machine, and you would know exactly what to troubleshoot if it went wrong. You would know what temperature the machine works the best in. You would know how to optimally run it because your life is dependent on it. And that, to me, is kind of what self-love is like. It's knowing your machine inside and out, having the names for it, and being clear about who you are and who you're not. And when you know who you are, I think the who you're not part doesn't feel like such a great sting either.
Yeah.
So I've actually put together a workbook of all my favorite personality quizzes and getting to know you quiz. And in the end, you end up with a long manual of intimate parts of what make up you and how you love and like to be loved the best. And then the goal is to take your results from all these various quizzes and some of the journaling you're going to do and turn that into a cheat sheet that's called How to Love Me. I'm wondering if that sounds like a tangible start point for you.
Yeah, I think it does. Thank you.
What these quizzes really are the makings of a How to Love You manual. And as we've been saying, your star student of this class should always be yourself. But like any mastery, it starts with the willingness to put in the work. I told Jen that I would check in with her after she finished the workbook and had some time to reflect on who she was and who she is becoming. So a month later, I hopped on a call with her. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good.
Wow. You sound like a different person.
I feel different. I just feel happier.
Tell me more.
You know, I never really looked in the mirror a lot. It was almost like I was looking past myself. One day, I was walking by my bathroom, and I have a full-length mirror hanging on my door, and I stopped, and I looked at myself, and I'm like, wow, I look good. That was when it really, like, sunk in. Not only was I trying to tell myself it, but I was actually seeing it for myself. Not having somebody tell me, not trying to tell myself, but to actually look and see it and feel it. I think that was definitely the click.
Oh, that's a huge step forward, Jen. Okay, so I gotta ask. After this amazing shift you've gone through, do you still have that lingering fear that the loss of Johnny was a huge loss for all of you?
I would say no, I don't, because we're thriving on our own. We're thriving without him in our life. I can look back and see that this is a blessing in disguise that he decided to leave, because I don't think my kids or myself would be in a good place if Johnny wouldn't have left.
Yes, it is not the end of your self-love journey. It can be a lifelong process. But girl, you're definitely on your way. So if you could sum up what this process has been like for you in one word, what would that word be?
An eye-opener. It's actually developed into something beautiful because for 27 years I had lost myself, and I feel wonderful now that I'm able to see and get back to who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
27 years later, I'm me.
This was an eye-opening process for me too. At the beginning of this, I witnessed a woman who felt like a failure, not only because she felt like she had failed her kids, but because she had lost herself in a relationship and life that wasn't really all the way hers. But now, Jen's able to step up and support her daughter through her own heartbreak, and in the process, shatter an intergenerational pattern. Jen has ended up getting back to herself, a self she thought that she'd abandoned 27 years ago, but is rediscovering a new, and dare I say, sexier version of now. One of the biggest mistakes that I see people make in regards to their concept of self-love is that they base their definitions exclusively on what they can do at their best. And this makes sense because society often judges our worthiness for respect, love, and praise based on a human doing rather than a human being model. With this in mind, I think Jen gave us all a beautiful reminder of what self-love truly looks like. Now, before we go, I gotta give one more Jen gem. In Jen's last email to me, she said her focus has been on herself and her kids, but when she does start dating, she is not going to settle for less than what she knows she deserves, which she now knows is someone who is just as loving, adventurous, compassionate, and freaky. Okay, so I might have added that freaky part in because, I mean, come on, after all this, Jen definitely deserves some bomb-ass sex. This is my time.
Next week on Hung Up, we're going to speak to Brett, who was happily surprised when he met the woman of his dreams right out of college. But he got the surprise of his life after they got married.
I saw a woman go from I do to I'm gay in 30 months.
And he's still reeling from the fallout. We'll dig into all of that on the next episode of Hung Up. If you or someone you know is hung up after a breakup, we want to hear from you. Email us at hungup@frequencymachine.com. And if you like the show, spread the word. Reaching more people means helping more people. And don't forget to hit follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next episode. Hung Up is a production of Headspace Studios and Frequency Machine. It is produced by Caroline Slaughter and Rachel Borders for Frequency Machine and Danny Carissimi for Headspace Studios. It's executive produced by Morgan Selzer, Sarah Cohen, and Baron Farmar for Headspace Studios and Dominique Ferrari, Stacey Book, Avi Glajanski, and Sarah Hepala for Frequency Machine. It is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sham Boudram. Audio engineering and technical magic from Jared Brady. Editing, sound design, and post-production wizardry by the amazing Julian Kwasniewski and Bay Area Sound. Development at Headspace Studios was led by Leah Sutherland. And special thanks to Adam Krasner. Until next time.